Welcome to the Great British Mickey Waffle. We are a positive band of Brits united in all things Disney. I'm Ben, and we're getting into the festive spirit, as you can see, by sharing all the details of Festive of the Holidays and what we'll plan on watching on Disney Plus this Christmas. I know it's a growing list. But so without further ado, I'd like to welcome my fellow wafflers, Claire.
Hi, everybody.
And Becca.
Hello.
How are we all?
Yeah, we're fine. It's December.
Been on the ground this month.
I'm not quite sure what's happened, but John will be back with us soon, we hope. Yeah. He's definitely on the road to recovery. I know lots of people have been asking how he is. So John is improving every day, but he has to be quiet for a little while while he's recovering, which is extremely difficult for him. We are supporting him and making sure that he doesn't do too much too soon. So John, we miss you. We can't wait to have you back.
Yeah.
And Peter and Jill,
yeah,
where are they?
I think they're a bit jet-lagged, aren't they?
They're not still at Heathrow, are they?
Well, I don't think they're still stuck at Heathrow.
Maybe they're hiding in an advent calendar door somewhere.
Very possibly.
Do you know what? It sounds like they had a really nice trip. They've only just got back, so obviously why they're not recording tonight. Claire, you've only just sort of got back. I think your trip's crossed, didn't they?
Yeah, by a couple of days.
So you got to experience it more in October. And the early bit of Christmas, where Pete and Jill have been full on Christmas, full on November. And it's...
And at the time this goes live, you'll be out there again, won't you?
I know, I'll be there. I'm there now.
You're there now.
It's very strange. It's like the magic, Disney magic. I'm here, but I'm there. We obviously record a few days in advance. So Ben has the ability to edit out any naughty words that might be said. Or any silliness, because we don't do that here.
No, we're not silly, are we?
A lot of the silliness gets left in, to be fair.
The hat that's still going.
One of these days, I'm going to throw it out the window.
This ridiculous Mickey hat with the twinkly ears and the light-up hat, hat on a hat. It's like a double hat affair going on. So you wore this on our Christmas episode last year.
I did.
Can't turn it off.
No,
it doesn't
stuck.
Turn off.
Nope. Batteries. You switch it off and it still goes.
I mean, that's value for money, let's face it. It's the longest lasting Disney item of merchandise ever.
I'm thinking I'm going to take this on our next trip.
Oh, God.
You'll see me walking down Main Street at the end of December.
If you see the hat, you'll know we're coming.
When did you buy it?
During lockdown.
Yeah, November 2020.
Has your hat lasted longer than Bob Chapek?
not quite. Bob started in February 2020.
If this is still going by next Christmas, it will have lasted longer than the tenure of Bob Chapek as the CEO of the Disney company.
Talking about Jill and Peter's trip, so they've obviously kept in contact with us while they've been away. They did a couple of lives. They met up with John Self from Mouse Dining, and they did have some variable weather. It was a bit toasty. Not necessarily their choice of weather.
Unseasonably warm for November, I think.
It was really hot when I was there in October, I'll be honest with you. It was still 30 degrees every day, so I was surprised by the weather.
I'm keeping my fingers crossed it'll still be that warm when we're in there in December.
Well,
it won't be.
Who knows? No, but there were some things that happened while they were there that, you know, we need to just discuss the fact that Jill has to be dethroned because... Having previously claimed to be the queen of Team Wimp, she did and enjoyed soaring, and she was on the top row.
Yep.
Which is more than any of us can do.
Front, she was in B1, so, you know, that's hardcore. She didn't take her shoes off, just saying. And she did Rise of the Resistance and enjoyed it. Yeah. Now, neither of those two rides qualify for Team Wimp. And therefore, I am making a motion that Jill is ousted from her seat and her throne.
I'm just really impressed.
Should we put it up in the Waffler's arms?
I'm just really impressed with Jill that she's done this.
I was very impressed. So proud of her as well.
Well, it's only one step away from Tower of Terror. You've got that drop on Rise to Resistance.
Right, if you can do Rise, you can do Tower.
Yeah.
She'll be on Big Thunder Mountain and Hagrid's before you know it.
So they say, was it 2 weeks? They did... Disney and Universal?
They did
Disney. I know there are a few issues when Was it a hurricane or was it just a storm?
It was a tropical storm. I don't think it quite got.
I think it was only a tropical storm.
Yeah, it was Storm Nicole.
They closed the park overnight.
Yeah, and it impacted their trip because that was then their moving day to Universal.
That's right.
So I'd love to know what Jill got up to at Universal. So I'm looking forward to catching up with her at some point and seeing what
what it was like there.
And I know they had some variable food experiences, but I think that the weather really impacted and. They found it difficult because of the heat. So,
yeah.
But I'm sure we'll all hear about it in detail on another show.
Yeah. So. And it's one of those things to think about. Air conditioning is very important in Walt Disney World.
Oh, there's a Wednesday. Best air conditioned spots in Walt Disney World.
Ooh.
Hall of Presidents.
Excluding Hall of Presidents and the American Adventure.
Yeah.
Hall of Impressions of France.
Yeah.
And the what's the shop that's replaced Mouse Gear?
Creations, not Collections.
I get the two mixed up all the time. Creations, it still smells like Mouse Gear. I had this conversation with Zach when I was there. Oh my goodness, it stinks.
It's got worse since we've been there.
It must be a drainage issue. Yeah. Oh yeah, completely. And there must be a drainage issue around that area because you just walk in and it's like, ooh.
Actually. That would make sense when you think what they're doing with the Journey of Moana construction all outside.
Oh dear God, all please of the water tell me that's not going to smell.
It honestly, it definitely smells like Mouse Gear used to smell. So I know we used to talk about the carpet in Mouse Gear and it used to be a bit stinky. I'm afraid Creations is the same.
Not quite managed to get rid of that lingering smell.
I didn't notice it in May, but I definitely noticed it. In October.
See, when Mouse Gear when Mouse Gear was going away, I remember people going, "We want the smell back." I'm going, "No, you do not."
Or the smell in a candle. No, you definitely don't.
No, definitely not.
Much like the monorail at the end of a hot, sweaty day is not. That's not a smell that you want.
No. So we're in December, so this time of year is all about sharing. And we'd love to share a few things that we've been working on. And some are from Peter, who's been dancing all the way around World Showcase. To our weekly live show, Wafflers Wednesday, every Wednesday on YouTube at 8:30 p.m. in the UK. Talking of YouTube, did you know you can watch this episode in video and see how we've all decorated our studios for Christmas? I'd like to say some have tried harder than others.
I didn't get the memo.
Did you not?
I really didn't. My studio / music room looks exactly the same as it did last month. But you've got your tree up.
Yeah.
I don't put my tree up till like.
That's all right. This is the second tree.
That's the second tree.
Oh my goodness. So we don't put a tree up and probably till at least mid December.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh.
We have a real tree.
Oh, well, that explains it.
We'd have to get rid of that in like mid December if we got one now.
Yeah, exactly. We have a real tree and I refuse to have one that looks like the ones that Phoebe tries to rescue. In Friends, you know, the dead trees at the
dead tree.
Homing.
Yep.
But yeah, so we will have ours probably. We'll buy it maybe the second week and we'll put it up the third week of December. So it's probably only up for like 10 days before Christmas. But, you know, it's 1st of December today, which means that our elf is back. Yeah. I hope. Elias, our elf.
Keeping
an eye on what Millie's up to. Yeah. So Millie better be being good.
Yeah.
The rest of us, there's no hope.
Okay, see, now I want you to put pictures of what Elias is up to on the Wafflers Arms every day.
Oh, no.
You could take him to Florida for a few days.
He could keep an eye on you.
He can't keep an eye on Millie if he's in Florida. So, that's his job.
Or is it time to get a second elf?
I was going to say, Millie, if you're listening, pack him in your mum's bag. But
she's not allowed to touch him. You're not allowed to touch him. Ruins the magic.
Or are you taking Big Little Chicken with you?
I might take Big Little Chicken.
Yeah.
You have to wait and see.
Our little Wafflers mascot.
Yeah.
So we'd love for you to help share out the show and let people know where you can find everything we do here at the GB Mickey Waffle.
Thank you for listening to the Great British Mickey Waffle. We would really love to hear from you. And you can find us at GB Mickey Waffle on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. Or you can email us at waffleon@gbmickeywaffle.com. There are many ways that you can support us, and the easiest way is to leave us a rating and a review on your podcast app. And why don't you share the show with your friends too? Don't forget to check out our YouTube channel and subscribe for even more waffle. Now, back to the show.
So if you've been living under a rock the past 10 days, there was some news that someone has left the Disney company. Bob Chapek.
Bit of a shocker.
I know.
It was very like, random.
Well, I think it was well managed in terms of keeping it secret until the deal was done.
Yep.
There was no leaks until bye-bye Bob.
And hello, Bob.
Bob.
The Bob merry-go-round carries on.
Because...
I know, it was so sudden, and I know that we talked about this before we recorded. My immediate thought was, just partly because of our experience this year with John not being very well, and my immediate thought was, oh, maybe he's sick.
Yep.
And that's awful for anyone. So I was a bit like, there's a lots of screaming and shouting and whooping and hollering about the fact that he'd gone. And my immediate thought was, I actually hope as a person, he's not unwell. That doesn't necessarily seem to be the case. It seems like he was just relieved of his position.
Yeah, I think because they had a shareholders meeting or earnings call a few weeks ago where I know he announced Disney Plus not doing as well and the parks and how the finances were going. And I don't think the shareholders took lightly towards the sort of comment of like, we're going to have a hiring freeze and lay off some staff.
And especially with guest experience not being necessary, certainly parks resorts, guest experience has been challenged and there's been lots of unhappiness in terms of obviously cast member hiring has been difficult all year. And I think that hiring freeze probably was maybe just one step too far. Interesting though, I am no fan of Mr. Paycheck, but I do think it was a fairly impossible job to follow Bob Iger, proven only by the fact that the only person to follow Bob Iger is Bob Iger, it would appear. So for him to come back, I mean, let's say they must have paid him quite a lot of money.
Well, yeah. And for someone that wants to retire... That's been, he's done so much for the company.
He's had a couple of years off. Maybe
he got bored.
Well, technically, he's only had 11 months off because he was still a CEO and then he was, what was it, the chairman of the board?
Oh, so, he was chairman, yeah. He was executive chairman for a while, wasn't he?
Yeah, so only till the end of last year. So
basically, Bob Chapek had 11 months of
freedom
and free reign.
Let off the leash for 11 months and...
And then they.
Yeah. And we've mentioned several times of the show that there are certain things that we didn't like that were announced over the past couple of years. But a lot of it I think we swallowed because post pandemic, lots of things have changed. And as we said about our previous trips, Disney's very busy. Is it because.
Yeah, it's a really different place.
And it is a difficult thing that I don't think. By taking staff away from the parks is going to help guest experience any more, apart from making people more frustrated and annoyed at this most magical place.
I think that's a really important point, Ben, because actually, you know, I know that obviously Peter and Jill have just come back. They haven't been since 2014. And yeah, I'd been in 2019 when I went back in May, and the parks are just incredibly different in terms of guest behavior, how they're run, efficiency, all of that is extremely different just from a couple of years ago. So it must have been really strange, Peter and Jill, having had nearly 9 years away, to go back into that space. It'll be interesting to see what their thoughts are. But you know, I think Chapek had a really difficult job to do. Not saying that he did it particularly well, but I think anyone would have had it difficult that period of time, regardless of who it was. But he's gone.
Yep.
I believe Ding Dong the Witch is Dead has been sung a few times around Magic Kingdom. But
I saw a tweet earlier that just said that there was some white smoke that come behind Cinderella's castle.
I saw a meme about building the Tron build has taken longer than Chapek's tenure as CEO. But you know, there's all sorts of things that we can say about it, but I think, you know, hopefully this is a really good move for the Disney company, rebuild, you know, sort of restart, rebuild, I was really impressed with Bob Iger's letter to all Disney company employees. That's a, pretty much the first thing he did was write to every employee and say, I'm listening, you know, I'm happy to be here. I'm listening to you. We're going to rebuild this together. That's really good leadership skills because he's already got support from, you know, hopefully he'll have support from the cast members that are working for Disney to do whatever is necessary to get it back on track. So, you know, that shows where he excels, and that's presumably why he's been brought back.
Okay. So we know he's signed a contract for 2 years.
Yeah.
What would you like to see if you were with him and was able to help him achieve something in 2 years? What would you want to happen if there's just one thing?
I think, oh, this is going to sound so fluffy. I would like to see some pride in working for the Disney company reinstilled in cast members. I want them, you know, that's the bit that we all keep going, certainly to parks and resorts and, you know, cruise line and all of that stuff. That's what we keep going back for, is that difference, the Disney customer service difference. That's, you know, guests treated like nowhere else in the world. And that has lapsed. And that has lapsed for lots of reasons, whether it be pay, whether it be terms and conditions. But actually working for Disney, nobody works there for the money. No one's, you know, they're earning $12 an hour or whatever. It's not, they're not being paid huge amounts of money. People go and work there because they want to work for Disney. And that's something that it doesn't always feel like that now. They're kind of, and I don't know whether it's just that cast members are being squeezed, there's not enough of them, there's a lot of pressure, they're working double shifts, all of that stuff. They look exhausted. And I would like to see sufficient staff on the ground for them all to have a bit more pride in working for Disney and supporting that, you know, that show and the guest experience. That's kind of what I hope he's able to do.
Becca, what would you like Bob to achieve in the next 2 years?
A good foundation going forward. I mean, in theory, there was a good foundation anyway when he left.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently it wasn't good enough to stop it becoming a bit of a mess.
Any foundations can be broken apart if you try hard enough.
Yeah.
Or if you haven't got the same vision.
Yeah, if you're on a different focus where we've spoken several times about Bob Chapek having the sort of focus on profit and purely on profit and not focusing on the experience. So where food got smaller, prices went up, lots of things like that.
I hope that he chooses his successor wisely and that he chooses someone that shares his vision of the company.
Well, I think the board of directors have a role to play in that as well, and making sure that the right decisions are made. You know, they've been there all the way through as well.
Yeah.
This wasn't a one-man show.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So, you know, hopefully there's some good advice coming to them in the form of Bob Iger and, you know, across their experience and the opportunities for promotion, you know, not necessarily the people that have been around for a little while. Maybe there's some other people waiting in the wings that just need that opportunity. And that's something that Bob Iger's really good at, is talent management. So hopefully we'll see some improvements.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what restrictions Bob Chapek may have had in place, how the company, how with a different vision, with the vision that Bob had before.
Yeah, how they respond to that.
And that would be interesting, because my big thing is about the Imagineers, because we know that there was a lot of changes, a lot of restructuring of how different parts of the Disney company work together.
Yeah.
And it felt like Imagineering and the creative side was left off, wasn't as much of a focus in the past But then,
do you know what? I
tell that from D23, really.
I don't think that that's unique. I think that's, if you were to take a cross section, I'm going to go on a bit of a rant. If you were to take a cross section of society and look at how people spend their money in terms of that'd be education or whatever it looks like, creativity is sometimes really not valued because it isn't necessarily a big income, big hitter. So you see, you know, schools squeezing out artistic subjects and performing arts rather than, you know, something that's like business. Actually, there's room for everything, and creativity is at the heart of the Disney company. And I just kind of think to give people a voice might give them the opportunity to make those improvements organically rather than having them thrust upon them.
And I think Bob reacted quite well in his previous sort of stint as CEO, with things like responding to the competition from Universal.
Mm.
And it got to a point where when he also looked at movies and films and everything, it was like, what do? We just buy them.
We
look at it. We go to Pixar. We look at Lucasfilm. We look at Marvel.
20th Century Fox.
And I'd love to know how... Because there was always a good relationship between Kevin Feige and Bob Iger.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to what we're going to have in the future.
I'm somewhat interested to see how many of the things that have started during Chapek's reign, I'm going to call it, stick around.
King Chapek.
Yeah. But how many of them were in place before, or the ideas at the very least, were in place and around?
Probably lots of.
Exactly. Probably. So how much of them will kind of stay?
Well, so somewhere in
Chapek's been at the company a long time as well. Chapek's been in the park section.
He's been influencing those
while.
Decisions for several years.
Yeah.
You know, some of those things, Becca, like Genie Plus and park reservations and all of that stuff, they were in response to a pandemic in the same way that everyone else's, you know, working lives has changed. Some are getting back to normal, some are staying changed because actually it's more efficient. I don't see those things changing, to be honest with you. Genie Plus is a, you know, money-making, it's a gold mine.
Yeah.
I think that we might see, will we see the park reservation system changing? I can't see what the driver would be.
The only thing I think that might help is the option of tickets and packages that mean that you don't, if you go buy a ticket, you get your reservation sorted already. Because I think that can be...
Like the Disneyland Paris tickets.
Yeah, because I think that's the problem.
A dated ticket.
That's the problem you've got, I think, with... You could have an annual pass, you could have a ticket,
but
then you're not... You paid for this, but you might not be denied... You'll be denied entry to the park if you don't have the reservation. I think there's a bit of flexibility
AP holders might. I think AP holders might just come out a little bit brighter in this. I think there's... a different relationship between Bob Iger and the annual pass holders than there has been with Bob Chapek.
I think they might
I think we might see a shift towards people feeling valued as guests rather than potentially ejected from the park. Because actually those annual pass holders are the most, if you were to look at the cross section of society, annual pass holders, in theory, are the most loyal of fans because they're the ones that are shelling out money either once a year or every month to be able to have the privilege to be able to go to the park whenever they want or within their, you know, their non-blackout days. People like me who just go for holidays, then we buy our tickets as and when we need them. And, you know, that is also... So I kind of think maybe there's going to be a shift back to valuing or AP holders feeling valued with some moves towards supporting them, maybe. Tables in Wonderland cards can come back. That would be good.
Yeah.
That'd be a quick win.
Do you know what? Open
dining plan.
Dining plan.
Back
it doesn't have to be free,
win.
But it could be paid for.
Yeah.
And I think,
there's a couple of no-brainers that might just be big hitters.
Yeah.
That everyone goes, oh, fantastic, and suddenly everyone feels a bit better.
I don't understand why Bob Chapek didn't bring paid dining plan back anyway, because it would have been a big moneymaker.
I think it's because not all restaurants, until last month, a month before, fully open.
Well,
Takumite is only open in November.
Just opening.
It's only just opening.
Last week, I think.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
the same with, you know, cast members. They're really short-staffed in all areas. So you then can't increase the throughput through table service restaurants if you haven't got enough servers, haven't got enough chefs, you haven't got, you know, kitchen porters, whatever it is, to be able to offer the ADR. So then you're selling someone a dining package that they then can't use. That's a whole other
thing. That goes sort of a bit like the ticket thing I mentioned about, like, you buy a ticket but you can't get in the park because there's no reservations.
This is it. So
there are reservations available, though. They might just not be at the places people necessarily would choose to dine.
Yeah, that's true.
But they are available.
That is true. We're going Christmas week and we were expecting not to find any table service. But we've been able to.
What, four or five? Three?
Yeah.
Six? I don't know how many we've got.
I see you've done the planning.
I know we've got two Christmas Day. There you are. We managed to get two dining reservations Christmas Day 6 weeks out.
Well, yeah, I think the other thing is that people have habitually been trying to book restaurants, you know, well, 90 days out, 180 days out, whatever it actually, because of the park reservation system, and this is a positive of it, you can now get dining reservations the day before the day off. It you know, if we go back 20 years, that's what people did. So I think your behaviours have changed, and some of the things that have been put in actually have allowed those behaviours to change. So you don't have to look at a menu 6 months before you go and decide where you're going to eat, which, you know, for me is a positive thing.
I enjoyed doing that, but then I would...
I enjoyed doing it, but then it was frustrating and stressful.
Every month they'd bring out an update to the menu, and it was like, oh, great, as soon as I go, I've now booked this reservation, and I don't like the menu change.
It's one
of those things. So, and everyone's different because not everyone plans as much as we do. So some of us are more sort of, okay, let's change as we go, be more, add more flexibility.
Let's see if that place has got any availability.
Yeah. But I think the future is bright, and I think it's a good move for Disney, and we're looking forward to seeing what Iger going to have to...
Wrong Bob. That sounds like the name of the show, Ben.
There we go.
December the 1st, the Wrong Bob.
Wrong Bob. Yep. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how sort of the relationship within the company of like Josh D'Amaro, how the parks and things all integrate with Bob Iger's vision.
I reckon there might be a bit of a shuffle at the top.
Yeah.
People may end up moving departments.
I wonder whether they go back to where they were before.
Maybe.
But enough of talk of Bob. I think we should move on and talk about something that we get quite excited about this time of year. And it's something that we always go, we miss it every year. And it's something that we've not been. We've done Fest of the Arts, we've done Food and Wine, we've done Flower and Garden, but all three of us are going to be able to experience Festival of the Holidays.
So the Claire, first time for all three. Have you done it before, Claire?
No, I've never been at Christmas.
I didn't think you had. So all three of us for the first time. I'm excited.
Yes. Yes. By the magic of technology, I'm there at the moment. So Festival of the Holidays, I was having a look at the... festival booths. Now they've got a different name for Festival Holidays that never got me. I can't remember what they're called. Holiday kitchens. Not festival booths. They look very similar,
but they're not. They're holiday kitchens.
In the same place, but they're called something different.
Okay.
And some of them, you know what? I'm not going to say I'm disappointed, but I am surprised to see that there was only about 4 plant-based items across all of the holiday kitchens.
All of them, not just one.
There's
wow.
Genuinely, if you are even vegetarian, not even plant-based, you are going to struggle unless you like cookies. And I don't particularly like cookies. If you were looking for a main course, if you were looking for something to eat that isn't a dessert.
Ooh,
you're going to read.
It is a lot of sweet stuff.
It's a lot of.
If you've got sweet tooth, this is probably going to be the festival
for
you.
This is not.
I can't wait.
So I am, and I know this will come as no surprise to anybody listening. I am the salty sour girl. I don't do sweet stuff. So desserts and cookies are definitely not my bag. So when I was looking at the menus, I was really. I was just a bit surprised that actually having had quite a few options within the Food and Wine Festival, certainly vegetarian and some plant-based options as well, that there really is so little
I'm just having a look through, and yeah, you were right. American Holiday Table.
I think it's like an
main
impossible
thing is turkey.
Something.
There's just pork schnitzel.
It's all meat.
I've gone through like the
first
four,
which is great for most,
and I haven't found any vegetarian options yet.
I think
no,
I got
the meat and wanted to eat all the sweet stuff, to be honest.
Mm. See, the problem is
I got about halfway through around the first thing. I think it was the hummus from Tangerine Gave. You know, it wasn't, this is not, they're not, you know, something that's going to sustain you.
No. I have to admit, I'm liking the holiday half desserts. There's an awful lot of dessert. Peppermint bark, salted caramel, spaceship earth cookie, snowball cookies, mini bundt cake.
We're going to that one.
So they do a whole cookie stroll, which is like 60 cookies, and then you get a celebration cookie. You like turn into a cookie. I presume you don't actually have to eat them all. You could just collect them and then
eat them at a later date. That's
an idea. We're there on Christmas Day, so maybe we'll do the cookie stroll then. And then we've got one for each day of our trip.
They might go a bit stale.
Okay, well, I'll eat them.
I don't think they're wrapped.
Ben will eat them, don't worry.
I'll eat them, it's fine.
So will I, to be fair.
Cookies are not for me. Biscuits.
Biscuits.
Remember these
actually, some of them really are. There's a couple that look like biscuits. The rest of them do look like cookies.
Maybe that's what we need to do. We're going to do a little sort of, maybe if you follow us on Instagram while we're out there, we're going to try a cookie or biscuit.
Oh, I was going to say, you're going to take your own packet of custard creams and do like the I'm trying to think of a word for stroll which begins with a B. A biscuit bonanza or something, rather than your cookie stroll. Take one of those selection boxes of biscuits and you could offer other people, would you like a biscuit rather
biscuit
than a cookie?
Walk.
Yeah.
Okay, I like that. Got to take custard creams.
So Festival of the Holidays, there's the Candlelight Processional, and I know we've talked about this on other shows. This year they've got some new narrators.
Yep.
There are some additional people that haven't done it before, which is great.
Everybody's favourite, Josh Gad.
I know. I'm gutted not to be seeing Josh Gad.
Yeah,
I think
we're
going to
miss him
great.
As well.
I'm just trying to see who else is new. But I mean, the favourites return, Neil Patrick Harris, Whoopi Goldberg, Isabella Rossellini, always makes me think of Friends, and Ross's List. I'm not sure, has Gloria Estefan done it before? I can't remember.
Don't remember. I don't think... Angela Bassett's.
I'm guessing she's.
I don't think she's.
Gloria Estefan's probably going to do it because of Guardians. Because
possibly
the song Conga.
Yeah, yeah. Marie Osmond.
We're there for Marie Osmond and Angela Bassett.
Angela Bassett.
So
this weekend, if you're listening to the show at the beginning of December, is Whoopi Goldberg. And I am actually in Epcot on Saturday. And it's a Whoopi Goldberg evening. Well, do you know what? I just know that the queue and the amount of people around the American Adventure and the what's the stage called? Can't remember
all
what
I can
stage
think of.
No, I can't.
All I can think of is some American theatre.
America Gardens Theatre.
That's the one.
I was right, American something the theatre.
Number of people that are going to be... Number one, it's a Saturday, and why am I going to Epcot on a Saturday? What a stupid thing to do.
Yeah.
But the number of people that are going to be swarming around there just to be able to see Whoopi Goldberg.
She's been there and done Candlelight Processional for several years.
Do you think maybe people have
for locals, it's one of those they may have already seen her before and looking at someone else. I'm
going to be there. We will see.
I think if you were there for when Josh Gad was there, you'd probably be queuing up. Mm.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm going to be in the vicinity.
Yeah.
I will have a look and see.
You could
how
be on
I
the
feel.
Other side and just say you were there.
I could.
To be fair, you could probably stand at the Japan Pavilion and hear it.
Yeah. Maybe so. And it only happens once a night, doesn't it?
Yep.
Oh, no. 5:15, 7 p.m. and 8:30. Three shows a night.
Oh, okay. That's
that's good to know.
You know.
If it's the late show, you could do that and then just it rolls into Harmonious.
Oh, good.
You need to say it one more time before it goes away, Claire.
Do I? Do I really?
Yeah, I think you should.
I'm not sure.
We want you to
suffer. We shall see. Thanks.
I don't know, we're really excited for Festival Holidays, but I think it's the reason why we've chosen to go to Epcot on Christmas Day is we're expecting it to be very busy. It's going to be absolutely manic. So if the rides are so busy, there'll be more Festival Holidays. We can spend time just going around Epcot
and doing the storytellers, the holiday storytellers. just sitting relaxing.
Hopefully the Divisa Lounge will be open that day as well.
I am looking forward to seeing Living with the Land with the decks. Yeah, they're up.
Christmas lights on.
And I'm looking forward to riding Guardians with the festive soundtracks. So
yes,
there is stuff to do, stuff to see that I've not done before.
Yeah, I want to know what music, what the soundtrack is going to be.
Yes,
they've got to announce it soon because it's going to change in the next.
It starts on the 25th.
So okay, it's already started.
So we'll put a little thing here.
Arms. If you missed it, you'll pop back to Waffle's Arms, and we'll put post in there.
Yeah,
looking forward to that.
I think Guardians is also a good segue into our next section.
So, oh, that was smooth, Ben.
I know. So
you've done it before.
talking of Guardians, that there is something on Disney Plus this year that I think we are all looking forward to, and it's the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special. All I got from the trailer was Drax and Mantis are going to kidnap Kevin Bacon. And that is all I got from the trailer
as well.
It's somewhat hilarious.
Right, so for me, anything with Drax is brilliant.
Yeah.
Because just such a fantastic character. Played brilliantly. I'm a bit confused by the whole Kevin Bacon thing, but Footloose and, you know, time period, it all makes sense.
I
don't know what I'm going to think of it when I see it.
No.
I think the general premise is Quill is depressed over the fact that Gamora is not around and or dead, spoiler alert, depending on which way you look at it. So Drax and Mantis and the others decide to cheer him up, and Drax and Mantis's idea for what would cheer him up is Kevin Bacon.
So instead of getting him like a tape or CD or DVD or something, or just something to do with Kevin Bacon, they just go and take Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see what's going to happen.
I don't know. I haven't... At time of recording, I haven't watched it yet.
It's not out yet.
At time of release, I will have, so...
Yes.
Yeah. So, talking of other stuff that's on Disney Plus for Christmas this year, Claire, what's made your list?
Disenchanted.
Yeah.
Yes.
Definitely. I loved Enchanted so much. It's just... the soundtrack's amazing. Amy Adams is fantastic. I just... it's such a great, great film. So Disenchanted, definitely up there. And I'm going to take the other one, The Santa Clauses. So I have watched the first couple of episodes of it.
What did you think?
What did you think?
I can see what they're trying to do. I'm going to withhold judgment until I've seen the whole lot.
Okay.
It's perhaps, we've talked about this already, a little bit saccharine for me. I think the thing about the Santa Claus and the subsequent films was the fact that Tim Allen played the grumpiest, difficult man. And he doesn't quite have that same feel in the new films, in the new shows. It may change as it goes on. I'm slightly concerned that it's not going to. So it's just going to be a little bit too cheesy.
I think it doesn't help that the film's already had two sequels.
Yeah.
And it's... I wouldn't have been annoyed if they hadn't...
They still retain the same feel.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been...
They had the same feel.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been annoyed that... I'm trying to work out whether I'd have been annoyed if they'd replaced Tim Allen with someone else and did a completely different story.
Oh, you couldn't do that.
But then also, on the other hand, actually, do I want to see them go... I'm not sure what route they're going to go down and whether... I don't know, I'm torn. I'm not excited as I was before I started watching it.
Well, I mean, but going based on the trailers, but they are going to leave the North Pole. New guy's going to come in and he's going to ruin everything by... I'm seeing parallels at the moment, sorry. By trying to commercialise Christmas. And so the clauses have to go back and fix it.
Yeah, perhaps. What else is on your list?
Something that is always on our list every year, and we usually watch it twice. And it's frustrating that we haven't yet watched it because the tree is already up. And it's Muppets Christmas Carol. And it's in its 30th anniversary this year.
Yeah. So, gosh, 30 years.
Yeah.
It still stands up. It's such a great film.
It's brilliant.
And I still quote it. You know, who doesn't, you know, like the lamp, not the rat.
Right, like, yeah.
Heatwave. This is my island. In the sun. You know, everyone quotes. Maybe they don't. Is it just me? I just wondered. Maybe not everybody quotes it. Maybe it's just us. I've had some realisation that it's normal in my life to quote things like the Muppet Christmas Carol.
See, the best thing I love about the film, it was the jelly bean scene and the gate. Mm-hmm. And it's like jumping off and over and then left jelly beans the other side. So it goes through and brings them through. It was just, there's just something about it. It's, like you said, 30 years. It's still current for us.
It is. And I think it always will be. It's bordering on a classic now.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's gone past classic.
30 years? No, that counts as classic.
Yeah. I want to see if they're going to do any special merchandise this Christmas.
Oh, I hope so. I doubt it, but I hope so.
Right. It'd be a shame for Disney to miss out on an opportunity of something turning 30 and not having an ornament.
So hopefully we'll have to have a look. You always watch Home Alone,
which is to watch Home Alone. It is classic. It's like when a lot of people, I talk to people at work and they go, what's your favourite Christmas film? Die Hard. For me, it's Home Alone. But I have a tradition. It's always Burger King, Christmas Eve, Home Alone.
How are you going to do that this year?
I have not got a clue. I'm hoping at Manchester Airport there's a Burger King open for breakfast and I've got my iPad set up at Home Alone. I really do not know what's going to happen.
Maybe there's one at a service station on the way, like the Sandbat services or some Keel services or something on the way up.
Yeah.
I think there is one at the service station we're planning on stopping at.
So I will have to have Home Alone playing in the car as we drive along.
God. I quite like Noel.
It last year. Yep. Anna Kendrick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's actually brilliant. It's really fun.
It is.
I think it's what I refer to as an ironing movie. So I can do the ironing and watch it, and minimal brain power is required to be employed.
I think it goes with a lot of Christmas films.
Yeah. And it's great. It's lovely. The sentiment is nice.
And what I like is that it's not too Hallmark either.
Well, it's a bit.
So.
Not there's anything wrong with that, but I think it is a fun.
It's a fun film.
There is another one which was about a fairy godmother.
Godmothered?
Yeah.
That came out at the same time last year. So that's also fabulous.
Apparently we watched that. I don't remember watching it.
We both fell asleep during it. It was that good. So maybe we need to rewatch it.
We'll try it again this year, I think.
You know, like, it's Christmas. But there's like Tinner Quality Street, probably Tinner Heroes.
But I don't remember
And it's
watching
like, you start watching films and it's like, I think we'd watched Noel before.
Very
so it's like, what's recommended?
I fell asleep in Seoul 2 years ago, so, you know.
That was the one that was out on Christmas Day,
it
wasn't
was
it?
Out Christmas Day.
Yeah, I snoozed all the way through it. But I've been
Have
up
you watched it since?
Block. I have. I've watched it a couple of times.
It doesn't go where you expect it to go.
It doesn't go where you expect it to go, and I quite like that about it, and I love the music. The music in it is incredible. I think it was...
I don't think it deserved a Disney Plus release. I think you would have had a different atmosphere to it.
If it had a different release, it might have done better.
Yeah, because it was supposed to be out in summer 2020, so...
Yeah.
And it feels like a kind of late summer, early autumn kind of film.
It definitely didn't feel a Christmas film.
It's not a Christmas film.
No.
No. So yeah, I guess, Noel, Godmothered, what else is...
Olaf's Frozen Adventure. It's not a film, but it's...
It's great,
but it's brilliant. Yeah.
Claire, you need to see it on the Tower of Terror when they did a little short of it as well.
Oh, really?
Because they project, is it Sunset Greetings? So it's projection on there with like lots of different things, from Toy Story.
Do you know what? That just made me think of a conversation I had with Millie around, you know, the Olaf shorts that are on Disney Plus?
Yes.
and they're the films. We said, wouldn't it be brilliant if Olaf did a selection of classic Disney attractions in the same way?
Oh, wow.
So he did like Jungle Cruise, Haunted Mansion, Tower of Terror, Big Thunder Mountain, but Olaf describing them. And it'd be so much fun. It'd be really funny.
I love that.
So, Olaf's Frozen Adventure makes me cry every time I watch it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I love Sven. Sven in that is just like the best. He's
hilarious.
The bit where he's trying to explain to Kristoff what's going on. Yeah.
Like, Kristoff doesn't get it, but Anna and Elsa do.
Yeah. Right, Anna knows exactly what he's talking about. Sven's like the best character.
What we'll do, we'll post a list of our favourite films and we'd love for you to share yours as well. So if you head over to facebook.com/... I've forgotten our link. I will put it in the...
The Waffler's Arms?
I can't remember what it is. I think it's facebook.com/groups/ The Waffler's Arms.
Just search The Waffler's Arms in the search bar.
And I'll put the link in the show notes.
Or go to our website.
Yes, gbmickeywaffle.com.
That one you remembered.
That one's easy to remember. Full of eggnog. That's what's in here.
You wish.
Eggnog's not alcoholic. Did you know that? The eggnog isn't.
It's got a.
It's not.
No.
No, it's not Spike alcoholic. Egg. You have to add alcohol to it.
I'll tell you something eggnog that I don't like. Ghirardelli's. There's a Ghirardelli's eggnog.
Weird. It's just like drinking custard. It's not like an
it's cold custard as well.
Drinking thin cold custard. It's not. It's not a weird thing.
All, is
don't leave the eggnog. Don't touch the stuff. Go with the. Fizzy champagne or the even a Bailey's would be better than eggnog.
Bailey's any day.
See, I'm interested what liqueur if we're going to get one on a plane. Mm.
That will get one on a plane.
Mm.
We had a bit of a Christmas thing last year where we made mudslides. That was dangerous. They were very strong.
The thing is, it's Christmas, so you add a little bit more. You think, it'll be fine.
No, I used a jigger and I measured them, but I decided that the single measures looked a bit small, so I did doubles of everything. So it was
maybe
massive,
you should have gone back.
Very alcoholic mudslides, and I think I lost about 3 days. but they were good. They were very nice.
But yeah, I don't think there's any other films we're missing. Actually, from Disney Plus, I know. Not sure whether you can get the holiday on.
I don't think you can. Not on there.
But we're going to talk about. Let's in terms of Christmas movies, yep. That's on our list to talk about at the Waffler's Christmas party, which is coming up on a Wednesday. On the 14th of December.
I was going to say the 15th, but
yeah.
15th is our mid-month show where we talk about California.
Yeah, yes. What could be more Christmas than San Francisco? But the 14th of December, our Waffles Wednesday, we are having a bit of a party.
Yep.
And if you've ever seen a Waffles Christmas party before, you know that nothing ever goes to plan.
Right. We've got Secret Santa.
Oh my goodness.
So will this hat.
Oh God.
Yeah, so if I get that hat as a Secret Santa, Ben, I won't be impressed. Our Secret Santa, there will be probably, who knows, who might turn up guest-wise. We might have people dropping in. We've had that before. There might be alcohol consumed.
Quite possibly.
It's just a bit of a giggle.
A bit of fun.
We can't wait.
And that's one to watch on YouTube, definitely. Yeah. Don't miss that one on YouTube.
Yeah. So I want to thank everyone for joining us tonight. It's been a great show. And are you feeling festive yet, Claire? I know at the moment you're probably in Epcot.
You should be.
So.
You're in Epcot.
I'm in Epcot.
You're going to get one of these hats?
I am not going to get one of those hats. Aww. Absolutely not. I don't do hats. It's not that cold. The 1st of December, my plan is to go to Epcot and then go back and have some food at the bar at Three Bridges. So
that's not jealous at all.
That's my plan today.
Can we add Three Bridges to our Christmas? I know it's our budget trip.
It should be standard in indelible ink in every plan.
I don't know if we've got room for it.
We have added a lot of lounges this trip because of the show we did on lounges a few weeks ago. So it's gone from a few table service to a few lounges. So
we'll see.
So thank you everyone for listening and watching on YouTube. We hope you have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Waffle on.
Waffle on.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.